grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come here, man.
So it is. That time of the week where we delve into things, marijuana, mostly in the New Zealand media, but we do like to keep an eye on what's happening abroad because we are kind of behind the game, aren't we, Chris?
We are, and good afternoon to you.
Hey, welcome.
Hi, Chris. How's
G'day.
It?
Yeah,
how's
very
it?
Well.
John's here as well. Hi, John.
Hi,
lurking.
Everyone
lurking.
Listening out there, and Chris and Big Hungry, hi.
Hello.
Hey. Speaking of which, you did say so we're often behind the times a little bit overseas. Mm. So what has happened, of course, between our last week and now, Canada has legalised cannabis. That's right. A round of applause. Those funny old Canadians.
Change that maple leaf to a dak leaf immediately.
Yeah, we join the. I tell you, New Zanada, we just got to join together.
Sweet.
Tell you.
New Zanada. Okay.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool, but there's a lot still to go in a way because they've kind of devolved a lot to the provinces, and the provinces have all got these kind of different ideas about what they're doing. And like right. Ontario, for example, state-run cannabis shops, there'll be 40 in the entire state, and a state that covers two-thirds of the Canadian population will have 40 stores.
Wow.
Yeah, that's going to go real well.
That seems like enough.
Are you kidding? Jeez, man. Yeah, they're going to have some big problems. So, you know, there'll be a few teething problems, but it provides a good lesson for us in our lead up to the referendum.
Wait, so Canada, it's not the thing like in America where it's federal, it's illegal, but locally it kind of isn't.
Yeah, well,
is it that thing?
No. Okay. Well, yeah, it is a kind of, well, it's not quite a federal, it's a whatever it is,
yeah.
A commonwealth or
yeah,
something.
Right.
And yeah, so the national government has made cannabis legal. Oh, the Senate and the House did that over the last few days.
Mm-hmm.
And each province gets to tailor it a little bit. You know,
oh, that's
so
cool.
Yeah, I think that's a cool
they
idea.
Kind of
so
it actually, all happened for the scenario in the local government.
Yeah. So BC is going more for a craft cannabis approach, where you let in the guys with the beards and the elbow patches and that.
Yeah.
And they can do their little craft cannabis operations and things.
Cruise in on a Segway kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the one.
I know.
And it's Ontario state run, so they're all kind of different. They all have their own age limits as well.
That's some good for tourism, right? Because you can go, we'll go to that different kind of.
That's
zone.
Right. Yeah, that's yeah, right. Yeah. And yeah, if you don't like it, you can move, go to the place that's a bit more,
Right, John?
Were there just sort of big empty warehouses that are suddenly full with germinating seeds, or were people ready to go before it was officially legal?
Yeah, they've let them have a bit of a transition time, and so the companies that are already established as part of their medical cannabis industry have got to transition, and so they've all been upscaling massively, building these huge greenhouses, and mm-hmm. but they're still predicting there's not going to be enough, that they haven't done it enough. To cope with the demand. So there's a serious concern that the companies might not be able to supply the medical patients that really should be at the front of the queue.
So where do they prioritise those scenarios? And if they do run out, where do they go? Do they go to
America? That is a big discussion over there, because you don't want them going back to the black market and stuff and having potentially unsafe things. So there is some talk about that, about having to prioritise the medical markets before they get to put their cannabis inventory into the adult use markets, which is fair enough. And also importing from overseas to be a stopgap. So that's where a lot of Australian companies are gearing up to supply the Canadian market. And we need to be in on that action too.
Yes.
And that kind of window is not going to last long. Mm. But our medical bill, well, it's due back next month to be reported to Parliament. Then they think about it for a little bit. And then in September, they have a bit of a debate. And then they go away for 6 months and they do kind of seemingly nothing, it seems, according to this timeline we got hold of. And they come back in March and they vote on it. And then they kind of sit on it for a bit and they give it to the Queen for her signature next June. And then we get to start writing the regulations, which will take another year to do. So that's the timetable we're currently on.
Just on that, like the prospecting selling marijuana to Canada, that's sort of what you're saying. If we get the medical, we can start growing. But then aren't we kind of putting ourselves, or shouldn't we sort of just be looking after number ones first and then... Because there's a possibility
Absolutely.
That we won't be growing enough either,
Mm-hmm.
Is it
totally
been the case
agree.
For any places that it's been legalized where they're like, oh shit, we run out of weed?
A lot of places have had it at the beginning, when there's a bit of a rush and a bit of a novelty, or that the supply chains aren't quite there, and then they can go through a glut.
I can finally have a session with my mum. Great.
Exactly, and everyone wants to get some, and then you realise, oh, I don't quite need to get any some every day because the shop's always there.
Yes.
You know? And then lots of people get in on the money, and then the price plummets. And so say like Oregon right now, people are turning, or wholesale growers are turning up to their produce markets, and just like how they go down and they auction off corn and wheat and that, they're auctioning off marijuana, and some of them are struggling to sell it for $100 a pound.
I'm sorry.
You want to be at that auction, don't you?
What state is that? Yeah.
Now I'm bummed out. This is almost like a sustainability segment when I'm John.
Speaking of which, though, another new company has kind of bubbled up. They're called CannaSouth. They've come out of Waikato University. They've been very under the radar, but there was an article about them in the Sunday Star last Sunday, so people can look that up on stuff.
Okay.
And they've got some research going on at the Ruakura Research Centre. That place is just outside of Hamilton there.
Yeah. It's
very interesting. Everything's kind of happening there. But yeah, back to the referendum. There was another interesting article yesterday's Herald. Fiona Hutton, who's a criminologist down at Victoria University, wrote an opinion piece saying that we need a well-informed referendum on legalising cannabis. She's a bit worried, like a lot of people are. There's nothing in the budget about the public education campaign or kind of campaign about the referendum. So assuming that's a next year's budget, well, that gives you a couple of months by the time the referendum rolls around. So that's not really going to do it. You know, we need to be starting now. One thing, though, that we did pick up in that article, she talked about it being not binding, and a lot of people have said that. It was actually reported around the world this week that it's not going to be binding. Everyone's kind of just quoting the week before's newspaper articles of saying, oh, it's not binding. No one's actually gone to the source, but we did. And that has not been made. That decision has not been made. What we saw the other week was a reporter doorstopped Andrew Little in a hallway in Parliament, asked him off the top of his head, what do you think's going to happen? He thought, rah, rah, rah. Then they went, obviously he hasn't talked to anyone else about this. So they ran off to the Greens and New Zealand.
They love that. They love that.
Exactly.
Stuff.
And they knew, there's a story in this. And they're saying it should be binding. Then they went to Jacinda and she said, not so sure. They're all just talking off the top of their heads. No decision has been made. There is no plan right now. So don't get angsty that it's not going to be binding. We still have that opportunity. And every government referendum has been binding. So we need to take that as the starting position and hold them to it.
Right on.
Was the flag referendum a binding referendum?
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, that kind of panned out badly for John Key, but, you know,
R.I.P.
See you later, John Key. Hey, the sort of in the news, the drug driving thing has popped back into the public sphere of discussion. Apparently, numbers of drug drivers are up. I don't know if it separates drugged and drunk.
What they did, this is the AA have put out a thing saying, there's more drugs are behind more fatal crashes than alcohol. Well, the implication, certainly a lot of the coverage I've heard, is people are just thinking that's all cannabis, but that's actually prescription drugs, methamphetamine, whatever.
People, you can get fucked up on prescription drugs, man. That's powerful stuff.
Yeah, and that's actually legal if it's under the directive of your doctor.
Right,
if you're taking the dose they told you to do, then you're allowed to drive impaired. It's just astounding.
Oh, man.
So it's not clear in there whether they've separated any of that out. And the thing about cannabis, what makes it unique compared to everything else, is that it hangs around for weeks or months after the impairment has long worn off, and nothing else does that. And it's because you have cannabinoid receptors through your body. Your body stores it away, just going, I'll have that for later. Other drugs don't occur naturally in your body, so your body flushes them out. So that's always the problem with that kind of thing. And the method that actually gives you the best correlation with impairment is what the police do right now, which is walk the line, touch your nose, count to 30. Right. Those kind of motor impairment skills, because that's what you're actually looking for is impairment. Yeah. So if you can't do that, no matter what the cause, it's showing up impairment.
But what if I'm just a bit of a kook?
Well, then you shouldn't be driving.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of dumb things the cops are doing, see, they've just found a bunch of ounces down in Otago. Nice one, guys. They're counting in ounces. And they're standing. I'm looking at a picture of a couple of cops, hands on hips, looking at like a weak table of piss all dack, and they're both just like, well, fuck. It's piss all weed. It's not good.
It certainly doesn't look like a big pile, and they don't even look proud of it in the picture. It was a funny one. You kind of think, why are you even doing this in front of the media? It's almost like they want to give the side of reform some ammunition, you know, that they want to look bad. Because that was weird, and it's totally overvalued, and you're just saying, what decade are we in that you guys are still doing
that's
this?
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. It was worth bringing up. I mean, it's weak. It's weak. Mm. Hey, thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you,
always
John.
A pleasure.
We shall see you next week.
John, I said thanks to you as well.
Oh, cheers. Big hungry. Thanks.
Okay, cool.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.